iFaith Sermon on the Mount series. This is lesson tea, as in a cup of tea, which I'm just about to finish. Last time we looked at Matthew 7, 7 to 11, ask, seek, and knock. We saw the goodness of God. Today, we're looking at the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule, very famous rule, is it not? I want to show you something. Silver coin. Friend gave this to me. It's a coin of Mark Twain. If you're in North America, you probably know him. He was a writer, humorist, satirist. He died in 1910, so before your time and mine, but very quotable. Let me show you another coin. I wish it were gold. I do have some ancient coins. Recently, I bought several for prizes for my tour members. They were from the first century of Felix and Festus and Agrippa. Yeah, these are coins are like, you know, almost 2,000 years old. And here's one I got for myself. And this is hard to see, but that's the Emperor Vespasian. He was the emperor who, he wasn't an emperor at the time, he was a general, was fighting against the Jews in the Jewish War. He was called back to Rome, or he went to Rome, became emperor in 69. His son Titus took over, and he's the one who destroyed Jerusalem. I've wanted a coin of Vespasian for a long time because I used to have one, but it was stolen a long time ago. And I'm very happy to have that replaced. Now, what I don't have is gold. I can't afford those coins. Or maybe I could, but I would have to get rid of all my silver coins. In most cultures today, gold is considered more valuable. Now, this is arbitrary. There's really nothing about gold that intrinsically makes it better than silver. But we understand the golden rule is different from the silver rule. Well, here's our passage. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Wow. Well, that's a simple text today, isn't it? That is the law and the prophets. In fact, there are a number of passages in the New Testament where the law and the prophets seem to be summed up in the golden rule. And even once in the silver rule of not harming your neighbor. And you'll find that in the writings of Paul or James. I'll leave that to you for another study. But that sentence sums up much of what Jesus has been teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, the ethical parts, how we treat each other in Matthew chapters 5 and 6. The golden rule embraces all of Jesus' teachings about loving our neighbor. Remember, Jesus gave both positive and negative commands. Negative, don't be angry, don't insult others, don't lust or desire someone else's spouse. No one, after all, wants to be physically, emotionally, or verbally abused. No one wants to be slandered or cheated or assaulted or robbed. But it's not just avoiding the negative, it's doing the positive. And God is good to us, a loving Father, and we too should reflect His divine love. I like the way my friend David Brousseau put this. He says, Jesus' golden rule is unique in that it requires positive action. The golden rule not only requires us to refrain from doing to others what we would not have done to us, but also to proactively do to others what we would want done to us. It's not enough that we do not harm others. We also must actively be doing good things to our neighbor. Jesus not only calls on us to turn the other cheek, but also to be peacemakers and to love our enemies. We must pray for those who persecute us, give to the poor, forgive others. All these are the outworking of love. Matthew 7:12, the golden rule, is just a few words long. And that can sometimes give us a false sense of security. Oh, it's simple. I've read it. I understand it. And yet, unpack it. It's full of, and it's heavy, with all the teachings that Jesus has given us. Now, whereas the golden rule says, do unto others, the silver rule says, don't do unto others. All right? The golden rule includes and implies the silver rule, but the silver rule does not imply the golden rule. To not hurt others isn't really praiseworthy. Isn't that just the minimum standard of decency? Silver rule is much easier to follow than the golden rule. In fact, it's already written on the hearts of all humans, Romans 2:15. And we find that early Christians very frequently, paraphrase the golden rule in both forms, the positive form and the negative form. Oh, I mentioned Paul, for example, Romans 13:10, but we can see Origen doing this in his commentary on Romans. It's in the Didache. Chrysostom, around the year 400, says Jesus signifies that morality is concise, easy, and readily known to all men. When he says easy, I think he means it's easy to grasp, not necessarily easy to do. I'd like to share for a few minutes here some examples of the golden and silver rules in the world's various philosophies and religions, and before we are ready to conclude. I'll start with Buddhism, and we're going to be looking at some of the silver rules. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Okay, that's in the Udanavarga, Buddhism. Confucius, never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. That's in his Analects. Zoroastrianism, a religion that came from Persia. It was the religion of Cyrus the Great or Darius, some well-known biblical characters. Do not do unto others whatever is injurious to yourself. That's from Shayast Nashayast. That's an example of the silver rule. How about the Old Testament Apocrypha? Do to no one what you yourself dislike. That's from Tobit, chapter 4. By the way, I'm not quoting these because I disagree with them. I'm simply illustrating how well-known the silver rule is. Hillel, the famous rabbi just before the time of Christ, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and study. Now, you can find the golden rule in different forms in the Old Testament, implied or almost explicit, but that's an example from Judaism, Hillel. Sextus, he was a philosopher, Pythagorean philosopher. What you do not want to happen to you, do not do it yourself either. So that's a weak form of the silver rule. How about from Hinduism, the Mahabharata? One should never do that to another, which one regards as injurious to one's own self. This, in brief, is the rule of Dharma. That's the teaching. Other behavior is due to selfish desires. So we find that in the Mahabharata, which is a poem that is incredibly long. there's the ancient medical principle. Maybe this is could be attributed to Hippocrates. Do no harm. Do no harm. In Islam, and we're going to shift now to golden rules. A Bedouin came to the Prophet, Muhammad, of course. He grabbed the stirrup of his camel, and he said, "Oh, the messenger of God, teach me something to go to heaven with it." The Prophet said, "As you would have people do to you, do to them, and what you dislike to be done to you, don't do to them. Now let the stirrup go." So that's in Kitab al-Kafi. Such sayings may be genuine, though these are not actually found in the Quran, and the Quran does not have a golden rule, but in some people remembered some of the things that Muhammad said embraced the golden rule. In Jainism, a religion like Buddhism from the 6th century BC, India, a man should wander about treating all creatures as he himself would be treated. That's some Sutra Kritikanga. Seneca the Younger, philosopher, statesman of the Roman Empire, lived 4 BC to year 65. Treat your inferior as you would wish your superior to treat you. So that's a form of the golden rule. You know, it's narrow in that it's referring to your station in society. And yet, in Christianity, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I mean, this sums up the Old Testament. So we are obeying God's law. We are fulfilling the scriptures in terms of his will if we care about others in that way. Right? Even if you're not sacrificing lambs or goats or bulls, even if you're not observing the festivals and Sabbath and behaving in an Old Testament manner, the New Testament is quite clear on this. We are summing up the law and the prophets. Is this complicated? Well, one commentator pointed out, This is Richard David Ramsey, Business Ethics in the Sermon on the Mount. Came across this a few years ago. I really love it. Ramsey says, the golden rule is just 11 words. By contrast, now he's referring to an act of the U.S. government. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, the U.S. government's attempt to oblige ethical character into the financial statements of American corporations, has 11 titles. So the Sermon on the Mount is 11 words. This Sarbanes-Oxley Act has 11 titles, that is major sections. He continues, it's one of the most complicated pieces of legislation in the history of the American public, and in the economies of scale, places a disproportionate burden on small companies, which were not the cause of the adoption. I'm not surprised. Wow. How convoluted, twisted, unnecessarily complicated are our human attempts to exact fairness and honesty. Government's attempts to get people to simply do the right thing. Not 11 words, but in this case, thousands and thousands and thousands. But how simple is the command that Jesus gave us? In short, the golden rule is much more easily repeated than followed. It's easy to memorize it, but to live that way every day, not so easy. Well, I'd like to close with one more thought and then a prayer. My thought is about how this connects with the previous passage about ask, seek, and knock. Until fairly recently, I thought that there was no direct connection between the golden rule and the previous passage, or even the passage following, which is about the narrow road in 7:13. But 7:12 just seemed to sit there because they had to put it somewhere. So there it is. But I've rethought that, and I think it connects directly. It's not a change of subject. We saw in the previous iFaith message, Sermon on the Mount S, that God is good. Humans, we're inconsistent and we're not good. And Jesus says, oh, by the way, you guys are evil, but even you know how to do what's right when your kid asks you for something. You don't give him a stone if he asks for bread. The point of that passage is God's goodness. As a father, he wants to give to us. It's not a passage about how to get what we want. It's really a passage about God's goodness and how we should respond to that. And so I think Matthew 7:12 is simply saying we should be towards others, behave towards others in a kind way, just as God treats us. If we really feel that God is good and he has answered our prayers and opened those doors, he's helped us to find what is of immense value, far more than silver, as much as I like coins, far more than gold even. 1 Peter 1 makes the same point. Then we should be appreciative, gracious, and treat others as God has treated us. And that's not just our actions, it's our words, it's even our thoughts, what we really think about other people. Yes, in our next message, we'll look at the narrow road. For now, Lord, we simply ask you to help us to make the connection in our heart between your goodness and our neighbors, those we come across, those we're connected to or related to. Help us to be giving. Help us to treat others the way we would want to be treated. And we see that the whole world seems to understand that it's the minimum to not do to others what we don't want done to us. And sometimes the world even grasps the golden rule, the active, the proactive rule. Help us to live that way. Help us to be conduits of your grace. Through Christ, amen.